शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ So the last Nama that we saw was 63rd Nama, Mangalam Param. Mangalam means auspicious and Param means supreme, supremely auspicious. So what is good for us, that will be bestowed to us when we remember these Namas. And one of the Nama for Vishnu is Mangalam Param. So By constantly remembering these namas, we get Mangalam, and Nama itself is called as Mangalam Param. Param Mangalam means all the good and evil, all samsars completely dissolve. It completely purifies. In fact, before Mangalam Param, the Nama we studied was Pavitram. Pavitram means absolutely pure, that which purifies everything. So, having destroyed the desires, the evil in us, it bestows the best in us. Therefore, it's called Mangalam Param. So let's chant next shloka. Ishana prana daprano jeshta shreshta prajapatihi Hiranyagarbho bhugarbho madhavo madhusudanaha Ishana prana daprano jeshta shreshta prajapatihi Hiranyagarbho bhugarbho madhavo madhusudanaha Ishana. Ishana, he who controls and regulates everything. Ishana means the ruler of all beings. Ishvara, Ishana, the ruler of all laws. This entire universe is governed as it were by some ruler, you know. So the ruler of this entire universe is Vishnu. So therefore, one of his namas is Ishana. How the whole world is nothing but various laws. There are physical laws, there are chemical laws, there are biological laws, there are, you know, various laws functioning at different levels. So, this entire universe is governed by laws. We call it as law of causation. For every cause, there is an effect. And every effect must have had a cause. We may not know the cause and effect, but the cause and effect is existing. When you do not know the cause and the effect is positive, you call it luck. When you do not know the cause and the effect is negative, you call it fate. But nothing happens without a cause. In fact, in Sanskrit, there is no word equivalent for luck. We call it as adrishtam. You are not able to see with your intellect. That doesn't mean there is no cause. There is definitely cause. It's probably beyond your conception. So therefore, he who controls and regulates everything. So there is this unknown divinity. With reference to the world, we call it as a controller, governor. The one who maintains the law, one who governs this law through the, sorry, one who governs this world through various laws. So everything has to abide by those laws. If you say hell with those laws, it's only laws for us. It is not the laws for the universe. No. When you go abroad, to any country for that matter, you need to know the law of that country. That country is governed by the laws of that country. So you have to abide by those laws, then you can enjoy your stay over there. If you go against the law, then you will be punished. So you are not punished or rewarded for your actions, you are punished or rewarded by your own actions. So similarly, here, when he says Ishana, Ishana, he who controls and regulates everything through various laws, the ruler of all beings, that's what it means. Then Pranada. Pranada means one who bestows or activates the prana, the vital energy, the bestower of vital air. See, we are living in this body As long as the breath is there, we say life is there in this body. When the breath leaves, we say body is not dead thereafter. So what makes the breathing function, that which is behind the vital air itself, that is Brahman or Vishnu or Ishvara. Therefore, the bestower of vital airs, one who bestows or activates the prana, prana of prana. He says this in the Keno Upanishad, which we have studied. You know, eye of the eye, ear of the ear, prana of the prana. So in that sense, pranada. Pranada, one who bestows or activates prana. And pranada, the physiological functions that are behind our jnanendriyas and karmendriyas. Then pranaha. Pranaha means the supreme being, the very pure consciousness, the individual self of the supreme self. It's called pranaha. Pranaha means the pure consciousness, the self. Jeshta Shreshta. Jeshta, the eldest of all. I think somebody's mic is on. Jeshta, the eldest of all. And Shreshta means one deserving the highest praise. The eldest because is the first. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, I taught Vivaswan. Vivaswan is the very first being. I taught Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave it to Manu. Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. So the very first being is Atman or Brahman. Beyond Brahman, Atman, there is nothing. So the very first being is Brahman or Atman or Ishvara. Therefore, it's Jeshta, the eldest of all. The eldest of all and the youngest also, you can say. Why? Because right now it is still fresh. So Jeshta and Shreshta. Shreshta means most excellent. Or the leader, Shreshta Purusha. See, a leader, what is the mark of a leader? Through him or her, the work is done, but their presence is hardly felt. You know, similarly, if you find in this universe, the whole work, everything is going on beautifully. But the presence of the Lord is not felt at all. So the most excellent, Shreshta Purusha. Shreshta. So Shreshta means leader. So a leader is one who lives those values. Not one who just talks about those values. One who lives. So the greatest thing to do is silently do your work. Not making your presence known. That is the state of normality. When any part of your body goes wrong, if something goes wrong with any part of your body, then only it makes its presence known. When it's functioning fine, it doesn't make its presence known at all. So when it's normal, you don't even come to know of its existence. Only when it, you know, goes off balance, then it makes its presence known. So similarly, Shreshtaha. Shreshtaha means one deserving the highest praise. Why? Because of this. Thus everything yet not making its presence known. Shreshta. Without it, nothing can function. Yet it remains detached. Therefore, it is Shreshtaha. And then Prajapatihi. Praja means beings. Patihi means the master. So the master of all living beings, and because he is Ishvara. The Lord is the master of all beings. So Prajapati means the Lord of beings. See, Lord of beings in the sense, being the one who elements the beings and not caught by any of the samsara that beings go through, remains detached. Without the Lord, no being can do any action, whether it's perception, action, emotion, thought. For perception, action, emotion and thought, beings are dependent on the pure consciousness. Yet pure consciousness is absolutely independent of perception, actions, emotions and thoughts. So, Prajapatihi. of all beings, the master. A leader or a master is one who doesn't get bound, caught, remains free. So, remains free in spite of all the samsara that the beings go through. And they go through all the samsara because beings forget role played by this Prajapati. Then Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is none other than Brahma or the entire Sukshma Prapancha. See, Brahman means Nirguna, without attributes, without qualities. And when you talk about Brahman with Gunas, you use the word Ishvara. So, Maya Sahita Brahman is called Ishvara. Ishvara means Brahman plus Maya. And when Maya manifests, first it manifests as Hiranyagarbha, the Sukshma Prapancha. Now, this space, air, fire, water, earth that we are experiencing, they are all stulam. Stulam means gross. They are not pure. So, if you see earth, it's not pure earth. There is some element of air in it, there is some element of water in it, there is some element of fire in it, and there is space in it. So, all the other four elements, little bit is there in it. Therefore, the earth that you experience is not pure earth. It is stula, means gross. Before the gross earth comes about, the subtle earth, sukshma prapancha, subtle earth was existing. So the pure space, pure air, pure water, pure fire, pure earth, all this is called Hiranyagarbha. And that is Brahma or Brahmaji. You remember this, Brahman and Brahma are different. Brahma, when you say the creator, Brahman means the ultimate reality. So, Hiranyagarbha refers to Brahmaji. We put one G, Mr. Brahma. Brahmaji. So, therefore, Brahmaji is called Hiranyagarbha. One who dwells in the golden egg. And Vishnu is the self of Brahmaji. The self of Lord Brahma is also Mahavishnu only. So, therefore, he says Hiranyagarbha and Bhugarbha. Bhu means the entire world. One who has got the world within himself. From Brahman, the world has come about. In Brahman, the world exists. And into Brahman, the world dissolves. So, therefore, it's called Bhugarbha, having the universe in himself. So, in the 11th chapter, when he talked about the Vishnu, the supreme avatar, you can say, or ultimately he shows everything in him. In the 10th chapter, he says, in everything I am present. In the 11th chapter, he says, everything is in me. So, Vishwarupa, that Vishwarupa means what? The Vishwa, the whole world is in him. So this whole world is like a small dot in Vishnu. So Bhugarbha. Madhavaha. Madhavaha means the concept of Ma. Lakshmi. Mahalakshmi. So Madhavaha. Madhavaha, one who is the concert of Mahavishnu. One who is the husband of Lakshmi. Also, he is the one who is known through the Upanishads. And then the next word is Madhusudanaha. Madhusudanaha is a nama which is very often used in the Bhagavad Gita also. One who destroyed the demon called Madhu. Madhusudanaha, the destroyer of the demon Madhu. So the pure consciousness, when awareness increases in us, it destroys the evil. So in fact, all we need to do is, we need to forget about becoming good. When I say this, I'm not saying that you become bad. You become aware. When you become aware, the evil cannot exist in you anymore. As long as you are given to desires, you may give in to evil things in between. But once you have developed the awareness, thereafter it's impossible to fall into evil tendencies. Therefore, Madhusudanaha, the one who destroyed the demon Madhu. In the, you know, presence of a lamp, darkness that has been existed for ages gets destroyed. So it's not important as to how long you've been having that evil tendency. At the moment you light the lamp, it goes. So Madhusudanaha, one who destroyed the demon Madhu. So the demoniac tendencies, mainly demoniac means desire. Why do we do any wrong things? Because of desire. When, see, desire and its modifications. These are the problems. All of us have desire. Nothing wrong in desire. But when the desires are not under our control, then we give in to desire. So, desire and then greed, jealousy, arrogance, all this comes. Out of arrogance we do something wrong. Out of greed we do something wrong. Out of jealousy we do something wrong. So, the root cause is desire. And Mahavishnu is Paripurna. So when you realize the self, you become Paripurna, then the desire is not there. So all the desires are destroyed. All the demoniac tendencies are destroyed. When you bring in Vishnu in yourself, the evil tendencies slowly leave. So you don't have to directly fight with the evil tendencies. All you do is start lighting the lamp. You start lighting the lamp, slowly the evil tendencies will leave you. Next verse. Ishvaro vikrami dhandi medavi vikramakramaha anuttamo dhuradarshat kritajnat kritiratmavan. Ishvaro vikrami dhandi medavi vikramakramaha anuttamo dhuradarshat kritajnat kritiratmavan. Ishvaraha. Ishvaraha means again the omnipotent being, the supreme lord. Ishvara, I just explained to you, Ishvara means one who controls Maya. You remember that example that we discussed about that young boy going with his father on the road, and he on the road sees a pickpocket guy was caught by police and he's chained and taken to the handcuffed and taken to the police station. He's asking what is happening here. He says, you know, he's a thief, they caught him and they're taking him to the police station, the police are controlling him. So after some time, the boy sees the road, president going in the car, before president's car, ahead of president's car, and behind his car, too many police cars are going. So he says, see, dad, bigger thief is going. For which the father says, no, he's not bigger thief. Because the son understands, police is surrounding means he must be thief. He's saying, no, in the case of that guy, he was a thief, policemen were controlling him. In the case of the president, he controls the police. The police people are controlled by president. So in other words, we as human beings are controlled by Maya. So we are not all potent. We are not omnipotent. We are controlled by our gunas. The Maya, whereas Ishvara controls Maya. That is why in the Avatara Rahasya, in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, animating my own prakriti, I am born when required. For what purpose? To establish dharma. So what does he say? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam sujami aham. So whenever adharma takes over and dharma is brought down, to establish dharma again, I take form. I take form in the sense what? The Lord controls Maya and takes the form. So whereas we are all controlled by Maya. So to be able to deal with Maya, we need to identify with the Lord. You know, the serpent is afraid of eagle, Garuda. But when the serpent is around Lord Shiva's neck, it can, the serpent can ask Garuda, how are you? Because the serpent is around Lord Shiva's neck. So similarly, if we need to deal with Maya, we need to identify with Ishwara, Vishnu. Whereas Ishwara is not the one who is controlled by Maya. He controls Maya. So controlling Maya, when required, it takes form. So there are different avatars. You know, some avatars just manifested without being born and brought up. Like Rama and all born, growing up. Krishna born and growing up. Whereas there are avatars who just manifested. Narasimha, for example. So, when the balance goes off track, to set it right, some kind of avatara I take. That power is with me. So, Ishvara, the all-potent, omnipotent, even the impossible can be done by me because I control the Maya. Now, you always find this, as I mentioned this before also in the class. Now, how? Now, suddenly last 1.5-2 years now, everybody is sitting at home. So, from our angle, if you see a lot of laws and this and that, from the totality point of view, when you see, it's probably good. That's why I was referring to that documentary which Shweta made me see. The Year Earth Changed. It's a nice document. It's about 45 minutes only. I don't know how many of you saw that after I mentioned. How, you know, we have taken over the whole planet as if it's, the planet is created only for human beings. In fact, there are people who talk like this. This world is for us to enjoy. No. They think that they are here only to enjoy. They don't care about others. I must enjoy. What kind of disturbance it does to the others, I don't care. As long as I am enjoying, it's fine. So even if they want to listen to music, they are not going to listen to it through Walkman. They will not put the earphones and listen. They want to keep it loud. They don't care about the neighborhood. It's exactly how we are living. The way we have taken over the planet, as if this planet is created only for human beings. What human beings don't understand is, without the other species, we cannot live. So we are actually interdependent. We think we are some, you know, some supreme. You cannot live without the other species. So, nicely John Milton says, they also serve who stand and wait. They also serve who stand and wait. We don't understand that statement. It's a very simple statement he makes. There's this beautiful poem, On His Blindness, by John Milton. Apparently, he lost his eyesight halfway through his life. So, he's, you know, he's complaining. What's the point? You've made me a poet, but you have taken away my eyesight. How can I write poetry and all that? And suddenly he realizes, you know. So then he says, they also serve who stand and wait. We don't understand this. There is nothing in this universe that has been put without a purpose. The hair inside your nose, it helps you, it protects you from the dust entering your lungs. So it has a purpose. You may not know it. So, we need to understand that as human species, we are a very, very insignificant part of that total Brahmand. But then we have taken over. So, all kinds of avatars, all kinds of things, for what? To bring about the balance. The balance has to come. It's very, very interesting. Even in our country, see, first of all, nobody understands the caste system. In today's condition, caste system should be demolished, abolished. Now, if you read the Gita, he says, caste is by gunas. You are a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever you are, based on the gunas. You are highly sattvic, Brahmana. Highly rajasic, Kshatriya, like that, you know. But then people took it as if by birth. Simply because you are born in a particular family, you call yourself a Brahman. But what karma you are probably doing a Vaishya's karma. Though you do Vaishya's karma, you claim superiority over others simply because you are born as a Brahman. So, and you go on oppressing people in the name of caste. And now, then they rebel. So now that is going on. So basically, when something goes too much down one side, it has to come up. It's like pendulum, you know. Pendulum swings to the left, when it goes maximum, then it comes back. So that's what you need to understand with the term Ishvara. Omnipotent. He has the power to set it right through any intervention. The beautiful Nama, Ishvaraha. The omnipotent being. So we at times think that, we can take over this planet. But every now and then we are taught the lesson. Listen, you better behave. You know. But the problem is we don't learn our lesson. When things become alright, again we go back to the dominating condition. So Ishvaraha. Then Vikramihi. Vikramihi, the courageous one, the valiant one. Courageous. See, courage comes when there is nothing that you want. When you want something, then you soften your stance. And there is no want. There is no fear. You are not afraid of anything. Even if there is one desire, it's enough to lose your courage. The strength of the chain is its weakest link. So Vikrami means absolutely no desire. Therefore courageous. Not afraid of maya, desire, gunas, nothing. Dhanvi, one armed with bow, the bowman. If you see Lord Rama's marriage picture also, he'll have the bow. Even in his wedding album, he'll be with bow and arrow. Bow and arrow means what? It means the laws are maintained. That's what it means. So Dhanvi, to go against Dharma, initially you will be given tappad. When tappad itself you understand and then you set yourself right. If you don't set yourself right, then chakra, destruction. So, Dhanvi, one arm with bow, the bowman. Medhavi means he who has great intelligence, capable of grasping all texts. See, when you are commenting on Mahabharata or something, let's say you are in the 100,000 verses are there in Mahabharata. Let's say you are commenting on the 80,000th verse. You are able to reflect back to the 25th or 100th or 107th verse and correlate. That's called Medhavi. Medhavi also means the vast intellect. Great intelligence. The intelligence per se is insentient. When the pure consciousness enlivens it, then you are able to use the equipment intellect and you exhibit your intelligence. So all intelligence is powered by that supreme intelligence. Medhavi. Vikramaha. Vikramaha means he who crosses, transcends samsara, the samsaric cycle of birth and death. One who is sitting on the bird Garuda, Garuda Vahana Narayana. So that Narayana Garuda Vahana is called as Vikramaha. So, sitting on the bird Garuda, you fly above the ocean. In other words, what it means is, those who do not understand about the pure consciousness, they identify at the material level, at the body, mind, intellect level, and they will all be tossed up and down by the waves of likes and dislikes. Will be tossed. But those who understand about the pure consciousness, they rise above these waves and they cross the ocean of samsara. From the shore of mortality, one goes to the shore of immortality. Therefore, Vikramaha, Garuda Vahana Narayana. Then Kramaha. Vishnu is called Krama because it is the cross of Kramana or crossing of the ocean of samsara by devotees. So when you hold on to Vishnu, you cross the samsara. See, how you understand this? When you are doing a particular action, but if you have the thought that I am doing it, it is laborious. When you drop the thought that I am doing it, the work is done without feeling the strain. So when we understand the role played by the pure consciousness and the equipments are functioning, then when we identify with the pure consciousness, the work we do will not be laborious anymore. So you will cross this samsara easily without feeling the stress and strain. The very path is pleasurable and also ultimately go beyond the samsara. And one who takes you like that is Vishnu. You hand over yourself to Vishnu. Hand over yourself to Vishnu doesn't mean you just sit down saying Vishnu will do everything. No. What it means is, he who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me, says the poem Olive Tree. The poem Olive Tree, I'm forgetting the name of the author of poem Olive Tree. He says, there were two hermits. Both of them, for their midnight prayer, they needed olive oil. So they said, why not we plant? So when they planted the tree, the sapling, one fellow was so attached to it and constantly checking whether it's growing or not growing. And when it needed the sunshine, he kept it there. When it needed the shade, he brought it back. He did everything, but yet his olive tree died. So he goes to the other fellow and checks whether his olive tree is thriving or not. And he finds the olive tree is thriving very well. So he says, how is it, my brother, tell? When mine died, yours is thriving well. How is it? And he says, listen, I never interfere. You know, laid I upon him no condition. I left it to him. He who made it knew what it needed better than a man like me. So, we need to understand that as human beings, our intelligence is very small. How this whole universe is functioning, we need to have that vision. We are so much focused upon just ourselves. So when we understand that, then we take a back seat. Taking a back seat means we will do everything that needs to be done, but we do not become result oriented or attached. We understand that Vishnu is the one who gives us the result as per our action. So we just simply do it as Arpana Bhav. Whatever comes, we accept it as Prasa. So when we do like this, the work we do will not be strenuous at all. Will not be laborious at all. So it is Vishnu who makes us cross over the samsara. If you hold on to him, he will take you without any problem. But if you say, I will do it myself, he will leave it to you. So Kramaha. Then Anuttamaha. He than whom there is none greater. is nothing superior to Vishnu. So because many times we ask, okay, is there something beyond Brahman? Nothing beyond Brahman. Because in our worldly efforts, we reach something and we think that's it. But once we get there, we think that is nothing. There's still more to climb. So we are doing this constantly chasing. From motorbike, we went to car. From car, we wanted helicopter. From helicopter, we want something. Therefore, you think, is there something beyond Brahman? Or that's the ultimate goal. He says that's the ultimate. Anuttama. There is nothing superior to him. Brahman is the ultimate goal. Getting back to Brahman is the ultimate goal. There is nothing beyond Brahman. Anuttamaha. He than whom there is nothing greater. There is nothing greater in the sense, once you reach that state, then you will have the satisfaction of having accomplished everything. Till then, the satisfaction will not be there. Duradarshaha. One whom no asuras can overcome. Meaning, he overcomes all asuras. Sura means good. Asura means evil. Evil, as I told you, is nothing but desire. So, one whom none can overcome. No asuras can overcome him at any time. Temporarily, it seems as if the clouds are covering the sun. Strictly speaking, clouds can never cover the sun. In fact, the clouds are born due to the heat of the sun. To the heat of the sun, the clouds are born. And it seems as if the clouds are covering the sun. Similarly, temporarily in us, the desires are clouding the self as it were. But actually, the self conquers all the desires. So he says, Duradashaha. All evil forces will be eliminated. All asuras can never overcome Vishnu. Kritajnaha, one who knows everything about what has been done by jivas. See, there's a very interesting story. A guru called two of his disciples and gave them each one fruit and said, go to a place where there is nobody, eat that fruit where there is nobody and come back. So both of them tried to go somewhere. So one fellow went in east direction, the other fellow went in the west direction. So they came back after a long time. One fellow had eaten the fruit, another fellow had not yet eaten when he came back. The guru said, I told you clearly, eat the fruit and come back. So what happened? Why you didn't eat the fruit? He says, one fellow who had eaten, no problem. The other fellow who had not eaten, but when the guru asks, what happened? Why you didn't eat? He says, sir, wherever I went, I am there. So wherever I went, I am there. Means what? There is no place where there is nobody. How can I eat the fruit? So that means what? The Atma is ever present, watching all our actions. That's what it means. Kritajnaha, one who knows everything about what has been done by jivas, as the one who is pleased with even those who offer such simple offerings as leaves, fruits, flowers. This is what he quotes chapter 9 actually. Chapter 9 he says, Patram Pushpam, Palam Toyam, Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. There Sri Krishna says, no? Whatever a person offers, he accepts it and then gives them the blessings. So it's not what you do, but how you do it. Sitting inside and watching it. Inside every jiva, the pure consciousness is sitting and watching. It knows all our actions, what your intention is. Maybe sitting and doing the puja, but what was your intention? Why you did the puja? What was your intention? He knows. Therefore he says, he who knows everything about what has been done by the jiva, and if it was done with pure attitude, it doesn't matter what you offered, how you offered, that matters. Therefore he says, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. With bhakti, if you had done your action accordingly, he bestows the result. Therefore, Kritajnaha. He is sitting inside. He knows. Everything is being noted. Like they say, no? In the computer, if you are using, all be stored. All the histories, everything will be stored. So they say even if you go on clear, it will all be there. Somewhere it's there. You think it's all gone like that. Everything is being accounted and accordingly the results are being given. Kriti, that which is achieved through all human efforts. Finally, what needs to be achieved is Atma. End of the day, everybody is doing efforts only to reach that supreme bliss. And the supreme bliss is within you. Therefore, he says, Atmavan. One who is established in his own greatness, requiring no other support other than himself. Atmavan. Self-dependent. See, Vedanta takes you from world dependence to God dependence to self-dependence. So, from the world dependence, Vishnu Sahasranama is taking us to depend on Vishnu. And when we chant and with understanding the Namas, though we are depending on that Vishnu, finally it makes us depend on ourselves. So, Atmavan. One established in his own greatness, requiring no other support other than himself. It is self-reliant. World is dependent on Brahman. Brahman is not dependent on the world. So the more and more you become spiritual, you also become independent. You also become Atmavan. You don't become dependent on the fulfillment of likes and dislikes. You will continue to have likes and dislikes. Nothing wrong in it. But it's not a condition that your likes and dislikes should be fulfilled always. So you will be the boss of your likes and dislikes and not the other way around. That's what it means. So let's conclude now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Ayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmanava Prakate Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Eti Samarpayami. Hari Om.